Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
So good morning. So good morning. Let's do it once more. So good morning. Excellent. This is our second full day of sitting. And for some of you, it's not been easy. We don't promise easy. Who was it that said life's not easy? Maybe Joan Crawford or someone. This weekend is about letting go of expectations, likes and dislikes, how you want things to be. It's also a weekend to be kind to yourself, to notice body, mind, the aches and pains and the craziness whirling around in the monkey mind. Diane and Koshin and myself and the monitors and the Jishas were remarking last night, we weren't speaking, we were doing it in sign language, at just how strong this sit has been, this session. It's amazing, you know, those of you who are here for your first time retreat, be able to just give into it. Maybe you're sitting in anxiety and sadness and resentments, but you're sitting. It's incredible. That's what this practice is about, sitting with it all. And sometimes it's not fun. A horse and a cat once discussed the question, what is happiness? And they couldn't reach an agreement. We usually define happiness as a condition in which all of our desires are satisfied. Desires for wealth, social status, fame, good health. But it's not always so. In Buddha's teachings, those in the most fortunate positions are called heavenly beings. Yet in Buddhism, the various heavens are still part of the six realms. That is the realms of suffering. So when the Buddha said, everything is suffering, it included the conditions in the heavens, right? Maybe some of you know people who are incredibly wealthy and incredibly fortunate and are still suffering. Right? Still need more cosmetic surgery or another mink coat. Or a bigger BMW. Or a bigger house. Taking up the beach. Destroying the landscape. Just to make them happy. Screw the rest of the inhabitants. I'm happy. And then for how long? Last night we chanted the Kan Romon, Gate of Sweet Nectar Service, as an offering to the hungry ghosts. So for most of you, that would have been a very strange event. We're all here chanting in Japanese, Koshin leading us, talking about this realm and that realm. Early Buddhist rites for the salvation of ancestors were based on the story of Moggallana. Despite being the Buddha's disciple, who was the most advanced in the magic and communicating with the dead, Moggallana could not find the right spell to release his own mother from suffering in the underworld. The Buddha told him that to free his mother, he must look not to the world of magic, but to the needs of the people around him. He must offer food to the community of monks, on his mother's behalf. Not me, 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 me. I'm sad, I'm this, I'm bereft. How will I go on? But to be of service to others. There's another story that builds on that tradition, the story of Ananda, the Buddha's disciple, who was confronted by a hungry ghost and warned him that if he didn't find a way to feed all the hungry ghosts, he too would become one within 3 days. The Buddha comforted Ananda with a series of spells that expand a food offering to become big enough to satisfy all the hungry ghosts and release them from suffering. So you see, it's not about just comforting Ananda and saying everything will be okay. Don't worry. No, he's saying, get off your ass. Do something for others. Feed them. If any of you have seen the pictures of hungry ghosts, you'll know that they have these big, big distended stomachs and little tiny, tiny throats and these long necks. And they can't get enough food down them to satisfy them. There's a wonderful story of hungry ghosts all sitting around a huge table with a feast in front of them, enormous feast, and they're unable to enjoy any of it, even a morsel. And I'm not sure how this happens in the story, but somebody comes up with the idea of strapping a long spoon to each of their arms so they could feed each other. A beautiful image. Finally, realizing it's not about them. It's about each other. The ceremony is a profound plea that goes to the root of Buddhism itself. Which is to save all sentient beings, to relieve all beings from suffering. Each of us in here, we're all the Buddha. And we all suffer. So it's through this acknowledgement of our own suffering that all the hungry spirits are liberated. This understanding that we all suffer, not just me, but you. Everybody suffers. It's been a very difficult session for me. This big bear up the front. Snapping at all the people closest to me. I've been feeling very fragile. This month is a celebration or the anniversary of my mother's suicide, intentional or not. She was 62. She was an alcoholic, a drug addict. And the last time I saw her was January 4th, 18 years ago. And I had spent some time in England to be with her for the holidays, and I hadn't really spent any time with my family for many years because they're all crazy. And I had kind of just separated myself from that. And I had a very complex relationship with my mother. She was just 17 years older than me. So she was kind of like a big, wild sister. She didn't really want kids. And on the morning that I left, she gave me this big hug. My mother had never hugged me in my life. Never shown any affection. She didn't know how to do it. She didn't know how to do it. And she gave me this big hug and said, "I love you so much." And I was kind of repulsed by this woman's arms around me. And I was like, "Okay, Ma, get off, I'll see you in the summer." And she said, "I don't think so." And then a week later, she was dead. Ironically, she died on my 10th sober anniversary. I think she was thinking, "Fuck you for getting sober. I'll show you." So every year my anniversary rolls around, I carry the memory of that last day with her. She too was a hungry ghost. She couldn't get enough. She couldn't get enough admiration. She couldn't buy enough clothes. She couldn't drink enough. She couldn't be in the world enough. Everywhere. Hopping from one place to the next. With one man to the next. It was very difficult growing up with her. And this weekend, for whatever reason, all this came flooding back. the trauma of a 3-year-old child witnessing something quite unbearable. And being warned never to speak of it. Silence. Never happened. So for many, many years, I've been filled with these hungry ghost emotions. This anger that one's feeding, this fear that one's feeding, this sadness that doesn't want to, or until yesterday, came to the realization that maybe I need to liberate these hungry ghosts. This mother, who herself was in a lot of pain, a terrible, terrible situation she put us in, without a care in the world. Now it's time to let go of the story. Maybe she needs to be fed, to be released. The last line of the ceremony when we're chanting is, may those suffering on the three paths come to atonement and be cleansed of all their ills. May those suffering on the three paths come to atonement and be cleansed of all their ills. How many of us in this room this evening when we repeat the ceremony, can think about who we need to feed, who we need to be cleansed of their ills. So that they may be liberated from samsara. The awakened parts of us that can allow that to happen. I'll try. This session kicks off our 90-day practice period, whereby we commit to deepen our practice. However that looks for each of you, how do you deepen your practice? Maybe sit for an extra 10 minutes each day. Come to the center every week without fail, one day, to sit in community, to volunteer. We're always looking for volunteers. To volunteer in your community. The hungry ghosts in your own community. Bernie Glassman was so moved when he was off in Auschwitz bearing witness and subsequently in Bosnia and Rwanda, and now in South Dakota. He was so moved in the beginning of the Zen Peacemaker Order that this ceremony became incredibly important. And finally seeing, I shouldn't say finally seeing, maybe he always saw, the need to feed all the hungry ghosts. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Bernie Glassman this weekend, who suffered a stroke last week. Apparently he's doing very well. Dogen, the founder of our lineage, Soto Zen, said, when you let go, that Earl Grey tea has given me like little burps. Can you hear it? Can you hear it jiggling? Like, burp, burp, burp. I feel like a little frog up here. Burp. There it goes. Remember not to give me Earl Grey tea. One of my addictions. It's funny, 28 years clean and sober, and I still have addictions. Still have things that are not good for me that I crave. Earl Grey tea with lemon. Chocolate. But I am now gluten-free. And I've been off coffee since the first of the year. So eventually, perhaps I'll be free. So Dogen said, when you let go, the Dharma fills your hands. It is not within the boundary of one or many. When you let go, the Dharma fills your hands. You'll be taken care of. Everything you need is right here, right now. And it's not within the realms of just you or all of us. Just is. The Buddha's teachings are a path to freedom from desires. It's not a way to satisfy them. It's a path to liberation. As long as we view happiness within the duality of this is good, that is bad, don't want this, don't want that, feel happy, feel sad. As long as we're living in that duality, we'll never be happy in our life. We'll always be divided. Like the horse and the cat. What is the meaning of happiness? We'll never come to an agreement. Horses like hay, cats like cat food. I was gonna say cats like fish, but actually, you know, that's not, cats don't eat fish naturally. We feed them fish food, cat food made with fish, but actually cats are not fish eaters. They're like birds and feathers and stuff. And if you have cats like my cats, they like earplugs. I wake up in the morning and at least one of the cats has taken at least one of the earplugs out of my ear. And then it gets pooped into the litter tray. So at least 2 days a week we have blue poop in the litter tray. Yeah. I don't think horses would eat earplugs. So, how do you want to spend the rest of your time here at Garrison? Are you already packing your bags in your mind? What time's the train tomorrow? Shall I skip lunch? I get the hell out of here. It's been enough. Or will you stay? Fully present to that desire to leave. Ah, look at me, walking out the door already. Not here. Okay, it was a great weekend, did that. Go back into the city or wherever and start squandering my life again. Can you stay here for the next 12, 14 hours? And maybe break through some of your resistance. Who knows? Maybe in the last period of sitting, tomorrow morning you'll be like, wow, finally, that was worth it. Or maybe you'll go home and say, I'm never going back there again. That's not for me. Horses and cats. Right? That's not for me. I had an interview yesterday with one of our wonderful students, one of Koshin students, who is on the yogic path. Zen's not her thing. You know, she's here, partly because it's part of her curriculum, but she was honest enough to say, you know, it's not my path, but I can appreciate it. I love the line she said, it's like visiting the neighbors, you know, seeing what they're up to. You know, what kind of practice are they doing over the wall? And experiencing it fully. Not throwing it away as something other. But yeah, this too is the practice. This is what works for me. So for those of you, and welcome all you guys from SUNY. Is it SUNY or CUNY? I never know. CUNY. We don't have those in England. All those of you from CUNY, you know, taking this time out of your life to be here. Thank you, Mason, for making this happen. Amazing. Every year we look forward to seeing you guys. And some of you have been back 2 or 3 times now. It's great. So, I'm rambling, where was I? Oh, so as you sit here in these final hours of our practice, dedicate yourself to this practice wholeheartedly. When you're eating your lunch, walking in the grounds, don't be wandering off. Be with your lunch. Be with the grounds. Be with the pain in your back. All the other mashugana. Right now, right here, whatever condition, heaven or hell, just keep practicing steadily. Let the Bodhisattva vow be your guide. When I've finished yakking up here, we'll finish with the 4 vows. So maybe for the first time, listen to what we're chanting. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. The dharmas, the teachings, are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha way is unattainable. I vow to attain it. Really take it on. And at lunchtime we'll be doing our noon service, and today we'll be chanting the names of the matriarchs. Yesterday was the patriarchs. Today is the matriarchs. I would say to all the women, all the females in the room, take that on. But no, not just the women, the men too. The matriarchs and the patriarchs, no separation. There's a poem, a very short poem by Mary Oliver that I love. It's called Holy. Lord Christ, Lord Vishnu, and all the others, of whatever name, let everyone in the world who suffers have a day off. Putting their lips to the holy wine, to the holy water. I wonder if that's what we're doing when we're feeding the hungry ghosts. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Lord Christ, Lord Vishnu, and all the others of whatever name, let everyone in the world who suffers have a day off, putting their lips to the holy wine, to the holy water. Why, my wish for you is that you get at least a moment off during this remainder of our session. Maybe just a moment when you'll be free of your suffering. And hold us all in that moment of grace. Don't keep that moment of grace to yourself. Let us all share it. Let Herb and Aaron share your moment of grace. Thank you.
New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is currently offering our Commit to Sit program, a 90-day self-commitment to sit and practice every day. This program is generously sponsored by Gayam. See zencare.org for details.